So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
What are you producing? What are you producing? Now, we want to talk about everybody else and what they have, but what are you producing? Because the Word of God should, and it will, if you allow it, produce what you think. If I go on old wives' tales, if I just go on what my daddy told me and what my mama told me, sometimes I don't think that, or they didn't mean to, but they told me wrong. And I remember that when I was coming up, man, I thought only miserable people were saved. I had just got saved, just gave my heart to Christ. Everybody was, you know, you go to church and they would sing, you know, "Oh, I'll fly away, oh, glory, I'll fly away." And I'm thinking, you ain't got enough speed to get off the runway, bro. "When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. You know, some glad morning when this life is old." And I love that song. You know, so I think you ought to pep it up. "Oh, fly away, oh glory, yes, I'm going to fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by, I'm going to fly away." And so, when I first got saved, I come across John 10:10, which is my life verse. And I'll never forget it. I was up in my office. I was assistant manager at a grocery store. So I went up in my office and I was reading. It was my downtime. So I was reading my Bible and I came across that scripture. And I went, "What?" And so I went to my dad. My dad was a preacher. I went to my dad. I said, "Dad, what does this mean?" And, you know, like a good dad and a good preacher, he goes, "Well, what do you think it means?" I said, "Well, I think it means that you ought to have a good time in Jesus. That the thief came in to kill you, destroy you, just like what it says, to mess up your life. But Jesus said, I come that you may have life." He said, "That's exactly what it means." I said, "Well, you ought to tell your church people." And then he looked at me and said, "Maybe you ought to tell him." I go, "Oh, no, 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 no. That ain't my gig right there." And here I am telling my church people. But what I want you to understand, though, man, is if you let the Word of God, it'll straighten out your stinking thinking. And you can produce something more than what you're producing at the moment. Because I want you to hear this part. Words frame our thinking. Words frame our thinking. And I should have this on YouVersion. We must have had a problem in the back. We got problems in the back on that. We don't have it? You don't have it? Because I didn't want you to have it. I don't know. I thought I'd put it there. But it's okay. It is on YouVersion. Okay. Stand by for station identification. How many remember those? Yeah, station identification. Yeah, really. Exactly. Man, that makes sense. There were only three of them. Everybody knew who they were. Now we need that. I got an Amazon Drive. Let me see if it's over there. Yeah, man, that's a long way around. Nope, have no idea where it's at. So I'm going to move on. How often did we do this before we had that? So I'm going to move on. All right, so sorry. That's what you needed, wasn't it? All right, but I got busy. It's okay. All right, so tell me where I'm at, Craig. Hey, now, no, listen. Use your words now. Tell me where I'm at. I'm just kidding. All right, words frame your thinking. I'm sorry, y'all. Pray for me. Words frame your thinking. And they are seeds that enter. You know, people go, "Whoever said sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me," is an idiot. Because words start wars and end wars. words, the inflections of your voice. That's why I struggle with text. And, you know, I mean, I know families, and if you're here, don't laugh, because then we're going to know it's you. I know families, I know couples who text and email each other trying to get through an argument. Mm-hmm. You can't do that, because you don't know the inflections of your voice, and you don't know those things. Words are important for you to speak, because, and I've used this a lot, because you can use the same words, but in a different way, in a different inflection, and it means the same thing, but a different meaning. Like, your face could stop a clock. Or, when I look at your face, time stands still. Right? I mean that's complete different. One, you're going to get a frying pan upside your head. The other one, you know, you might get some loving. So understand that. The seeds, they are seeds that enter your heart, and they do that through your ears, but they produce a harvest. They will produce a harvest. So you got to guard your heart, because what flows out of your heart ultimately becomes your life. Therefore, choose the words you listen to. Will you listen to the words of your enemy, or will you listen to the words of God? Will you listen to what Satan has to say to you, or will you listen to the word of God and what God has to say to you? That's why when I'm in a situation and I may not know exactly how to pray, I'll just pray the word. I mean, I'll pray in the Holy Ghost, but sometimes I just pray the word, because I know the word gets it in my spirit, and that's going to produce a harvest, that I'm going to listen to what God says and not what everybody else says and what the enemy says. So if you're taking notes, then point number one is this: every believer should live in abundance. And man, I'm telling you, I take a lot of flack for this. Pastor, are you a prosperity preacher? Absolutely I am. Am I a faith preacher? Absolutely I am. Am I a holiness preacher? Absolutely I am. Are you a tongue-talking preacher? Absolutely I am. Are you a Bible-thumping, holy? Absolutely I am. If it's in the Bible, I'm going to preach it. Not because somebody has messed up a side of the message, I'm still going to preach the word of God. And I am firmly believe that God wants you to prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. And so I've gotten a bad rep sometimes in town that people have said this to me: well, that's a good church, but be careful of that pastor, because he's a prosperity preacher. And then they come ask me for money. Isn't that crazy? All right, so, but they'll say he's a prosperity preacher. But listen, abundance doesn't just mean money. That's where people miss it. You know, well, you know, Pastor, money's the root of all evil. No, it's not. The love of money is the root of all evil. Abundance doesn't just mean money. It includes every area of your life. When I talk about abundance, I want abundance of friends. I want abundance of family. I want abundance of finances. I want abundance in of love. I want abundance of whatever I put my hand to, because God is a multiplier, and he multiplies whatever you give him. So I've often wondered, I don't know this, you might do, because you're probably more smarter than I am. So if God is a multiplier, if you give him doubt, if you give him bitterness, I don't know, I'm just going, God wants you to have and enjoy life in abundance to its fullest, to overflow. Here's what the Amplified Version says of my favorite scripture: the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full overflow of life. And that's what I want, man. I want the overflow of life. I mean, I don't want people to walk around and wonder why I'm so sad. I want people to wander around. You know, when I used to run a Wendy's years ago, and I would walk through the, every day I would walk through, do my walks through the dining room, and people were in there, and finally one lady said, "Excuse me, sir. I go, "Yes, ma'am, something wrong with your order?" She goes, "No, are you the manager?" I said, "Yes." She goes, "I just got to know, why are you always happy? I come in here 3-4 times a week, you're always smiling and happy." And I said, "Because I have Jesus." She says, "Oh, you're one of those." I said, "Yeah, I am." I said, "You ought to try it. It might work for you." Amen? I mean, I wasn't being ugly. I was truly meaning that. And so I struggle with Christians who are always mean. I struggle with Christians who never have a smile. Because God said, I want you to live in abundance, not just money, in every area of your life. The Word declares that God is a loving Father who does not abuse or withhold any good thing from His children. God has a part to play in you obtaining abundance, and He is faithful to do His part. But can I tell you, God wants what's best for you. But here's the thing that Pentecostals always struggle with, is that you have a part to play. Oh no, all I got to do is speak in some tongues and it'll happen. No, because when Jesus came to the tomb of Lazarus, He said, where did y'all lay him? Like He didn't know. And then when they got there, they said, y'all, He was Southern, y'all remove the stone. They removed the stone. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And then He said, y'all take the death rags or the burial cloths off of me. You don't think that Jesus could have went whatever and you're done? Of course He could have. He wanted you involved in the process. He wanted His people involved in the process. He wants you and I involved in the process. God, just fix my marriage. No, I want to work on you, because if all I do is fix it, you're going to get right back in the same way that you was. But if I work on you and fix you, then that's going to fix the marriage. It ain't going to be a band-aid, but it's going to be a healing that takes place that will not be superseded by anything that the world has to offer. So we've got a part to play in that. But listen, here's part of that, is that what words are you listening to? You've got to ask yourself, in order to use Abraham, God had to remove him from his family members who were framing the way that he thinks. Man, you know, listen, my dad, and I love my dad. My dad's gone. He's been dead for 2 years now, and I don't believe that I would be who I am today if I'd have stayed in Cushla, Alabama, in my dad's church even. Why? Because my dad's church was kind of just messed up some. I mean, this really happened. And my dad told me this. I said, what? There was an elder that booked a revival and told my dad about it. Yeah, I booked so-and-so. We're going to have a revival on this. I was like, I would shoot an elder in the kneecap. I don't understand that. Here's what my dad, here's one of the advice. I told you the good stuff my dad told me. Here's another advice on my dad. My dad said, son, I think you might preach too much. I go, really? He goes, yeah. He said, I think you're a good preacher, but you know, everybody gets tired of steak if you have it every day. I was like, Dad, I think that, you know, let's see, you know, you're running 60, I'm running 250. I think it's working for me, you know. I mean, you know, that's just the way it is. And then there's some other things that I won't even go into, because it's just crazy. It's crazy. Some of the things he told me, you know. And so, you know, one of the things he told me, oh, I ain't going to go there. I know y'all going to wonder all day, but I do listen to the Holy Spirit when my mind and tongue sometimes gets messed up and goes in a different way. God's words produces a way of thinking. God's words produces the way of thinking. When I first got saved, I first started pastoring, here's my way of thinking. Lord, and I said these words to him, Lord, if you ever give me 100 people to pastor, I'll never ask you for another thing. That was so stupid. And then, you know, we started in our old church, we started running like 80. And I was like, well, maybe I could handle 125. Then I come here and we find, well, maybe I could handle 200. You know, now I'm like, that, whatever you want to do, God, I can handle it. Through you, I can handle it. Through him, I can do all things, right? But my frame of thinking was little. My framework of thinking was low. My framework of thinking was not being able to get beyond my own culture in which I was raised, my own way of thinking in which I was raised, the way my daddy raised me, the way my mama raised me. I had to get outside. Matter of fact, my oldest brother, who was successful in the business world, he said to me, Ronnie, how in the world do you think so differently than daddy and think so larger than daddy in the church realm? I said, it's real easy, David. It is the Word of God. When I, and don't get me wrong, my dad read the Word of God, and I'm sure he superseded his culture. But I can tell you that as I begin to read the word of God, I begin to understand that I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I begin to understand that Jesus loves me. I begin to understand that Jesus wasn't looking for a reason to remove me out of his sight. He was looking for any reason to restore me into his presence. I begin to understand that grace is bigger than I thought it was. I begin to understand the cross. I begin to understand what Jesus wanted to do and is doing in my life. And I will never let the words of small, impotent, or unimportant people tell me any differently. Why? Because the word of the living God, it is framing my thought life. It's framing my thinking. And I refuse to be anything less than. Hallelujah. Satan's words are false. God's words are truth. Satan shows up with words because he knows that words will influence your thinking. All right. Man, I'm really sorry I don't have this on the screen. So, but if you got YouVersion, you can go there and get it. Because you got to hear this. Bad behavior is a result of bad thinking. Why'd you do that? I don't know. How many of you know when your kids were small? Why'd you do that? I don't know. Why did you throw that dog in the pool? It was I could do. Why did you slap your brother? I don't know. It was I could do. Why did you punch me in the gut? It was I could do. I didn't know, daddy. It was I could do. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Amen. So don't you think it's important the way you think? How many of you thought yourself out of a bad situation and thought yourself into good situations? You know, we do it all the time. We talk to ourselves. If anybody who exercises, you know I don't do it often, but when I do, I talk to myself. I can do this. I can do this. Oh God, I can't do this. You know, all the way around, man. Sinful behavior is the result of sinful thinking. No, Pastor, I don't believe that. I just woke up one day, there was a manhole cover off the sidewalk, and I just fell into sin. No, you didn't, baby. Sinful thinking results in sinful behavior. Your thinking is the cornerstone to everything that happens in your life. You are God's beloved. 3 John 2 says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. You must have faith in the love that God has for you. Because God loves you, he desires to prosper you in every area of your life. But in doing that, that means, man, you gotta think that way. That God loves me. Now here's the problem. All right, can I help you? And if I don't get done with this, I'll finish it next week. But here's the problem. The problem is we go, all right, God loves me too much to send me to hell. No, you fit yourself. It's kind of like this. I told my children one time when they were young and under 10. I said, I will not whip you from now on unless you ask for it. And they were like, woo. Jillian goes, I'm never getting a whipping again. I go, oh no, y'all don't understand. Your actions speak louder than your words. So if you need a spanking, you ain't got to say it. I'm going to see it before you ever say it, right? Because that's truth. All right, so God loves you and he wants you to prosper. But the soul, now we know that the soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. And that's sometimes where we get messed up. But, oh, I know where I was going. I just skipped one. Where we get messed up is we go, God loves me too much that he don't care about my behavior. And that's not true. That's not true. There was a couple who were not pleasing God, let's just say that. They were not pleasing unto God. And when we talked to them about, they wanted to join the church, and we were talking to them about where they're at, where they're at in their life, and here's where their words. We do enough for God that he overlooks the other stuff. I'm going on a killing spree tonight. If God overlooks it, I think I've done a lot for him. I'm going to go to that business first is where I'm going to start. I mean, isn't that ludicrous? Oh, God understands me. Yeah, he does. He sure does. He knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. He knows it all. I mean, you can fool pastor. You can even fool spouse. You can fool mom and daddy, but you can't fool God. God searches the deep things. Yay, the deep things of the spirit. Amen. So what we've got to understand is that the soul is made up of the mind, the will, and emotions. And it has to be renewed by the word of God. The word of God is what renewed my mind, man. And it still does. When I get down on myself, when I start thinking wrong, or here's another one. When I start thinking more highly of myself than I ought to, the word of God comes into play. You know, I've heard people go, well, I'm going to tell you what. I'm very proud of my humbleness. He said, I heard somebody say not too long ago, most people know how humble I am. Yeah, you have to tell everybody you're probably not. I don't know. I'm just saying. But anyway. But so I've got to renew my mind from the bad things, you know, but I also, the word of God says that I ought not think more highly of myself than I ought to. That I'm not, you know, God, I want y'all to know, God doesn't have a different set of rules for me and Papa. Amen. Now, with the same thing, let me say this. With the same thing, is there are things that God will deal with Popeye that he don't deal with me about. That's called working out your own salvation with fear and trembling before the Lord. But the biggies, that's non-negotiable. Oh, it's okay, yeah. You can't commit adultery, but you can and you can, but you can't. No, that's the biggies. You know, the top 10, that's for everybody. But here's the problem. Commitment and conviction go hand in hand. If you will be committed to the process of God, he will work in the conviction of your life. But we don't want conviction. And we don't want commitment. We don't want that because, you know, if that happens to us, it's going to change the way that we live. Exactly, it is. So we're afraid of committing to what Jesus wants us to do. And listen, I am right there with you. There are two things that God spoke to me. I'm not going to tell you what they are because if I tell you, then you're going to hold my feet to the fire about it and you're going to be my judge and I'm going to have to slap somebody. So there are two things that God spoke to me at camp meeting about what I'm supposed to do that I have charge over. He said, as a matter of fact, the man preached on radical faith. Yes, that's me. Radical faith. Pray radical prayers. Oh, yeah, man, I'm praying radical prayers. But it's got to be followed up with radical obedience. I said, shut your mouth. Right? And so there's a couple of things that God's dealt with me, and I'm going to have to do it. And one of them is difficult. One of them, if I told you what they were, one of them you go, oh, that's no problem. And I go, yeah, you're right. More than likely, if I told you what they were, you would go, oh, my God, the second one is bad. No, the second one ain't nothing. Ain't a thing to me because it ain't one of my issues. The first one, I don't know, you know, again, pray for me. I've been trying to make deals with God. Well, God, what if I just do this? What if I do this? Now, did you actually mean? You know, I feel like Adam and Eve at the tree. Now, I know, God, you said that we shouldn't eat it, but could I just touch it? Huh? You said for me not to eat it, but you didn't say I could smell it. You know, and this ain't sin, but it's sin if I don't obey. All right, so you see what I'm saying? Now, you know, it's sin. How can God bless me? You know, it's just like your own children. I want you to go in there and clean your room. Well, I cleaned the bathroom. Okay, but clean your room. Well, I picked up the clothes. All right, did you clean it? Well, I picked up the clothes. Well, I need you to clean it. Well, exactly what does cleaning mean in your mind? Because in my mind, straightening up, clean. Well, you're talking about nitty-gritty clean. You're talking about, like, you know, Swiffer on the fan and the vacuum on the floor and changing the sheets and putting everything where it goes? Yes. We have two completely different views of what cleaning is, right? And so those are the things that I am wrestling with God in those areas. So just pray for me. I know, yeah. Because here's the other side. Are you ready? Here's what I know. As the pastor of this church, my obedience doesn't just deal with me. All right, and don't start blaming me for every problem in this church. Yep. Run out of toilet paper. It's the pastor's fault. Toilet got clogged up. I bet that preacher didn't obey God on something. Air conditioner went out. Preacher, that's what it is. Are you getting what I'm laying down here? So my obedience, I know, is connected to more than just me. It's connected to my family first. And then it's connected to our church, because I'm the pastor of the church. So man, God, I don't know how God speaks to you, but I remember years ago we were in the old building and God was moving, and here's what God said to me. Man, it shook me to my bones. He said, I was getting ready to go into the side door there where we had our offices, and I put the key in and I opened it, and the Lord said, I'm going to do a great thing here, Ronnie. I went, oh yes. And he paused. I said, oh yes. He said, now, you know, you may say, that wasn't God, whatever. He talks to me in my vernacular. He said, don't screw it up. And I said, come on, God. Is it got to be on me? And he said, you're the pastor. Said, shoot. We just may change titles. It'd be on you and not me. But so you understand what I'm saying? So, you know, oh, God didn't say that. He probably didn't. He probably said, do not thou messeth it up. But when it came into my ears, it was, don't screw it up. All right? When it left heaven, it was King James. Ronnieth, doeth not do any thy harm to thyself or thy church with thy stupidest opinions and tactics. Yeah, when it came to me, don't screw it up. So, hang on a minute. I'm good. I got another one down here. So, your mind has to be renewed by the Word of God. And that's how I have to renew my mind. It has to be renewed by the Word. Your prosperity, remember, I'm not talking about money, but it can include money. Your prosperity, your health are based on how well your soul or your thinking prospers. Your thinking determines your life, Proverbs 23:7. The word heart in the Old Testament refers to a man's soul or his way of thinking. Prosperity means to excel to your desired place in life. See, now here's the deal. There are so many people who have been through life, and life has scarred you, and life has dealt blows to you, that you cannot see a better place than where you presently are. But God gives you the ability to have vision and gives you the ability to see beyond where you presently are. And you will, now I've preached this principle for 20 years now. I don't say as much as I once did, but I still 100% believe that you will never leave where you are until you see a place you would rather be. You will never leave where you are until you see a place you would rather be.
Well, but all I see is destruction. All I see.
It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. You know, listen. We was raised poor. You know, nothing wrong with being poor. What's wrong is staying poor because you're lazy. And that don't mean everybody. So don't get mad. Don't be sending me no emails. Online, if you want to, send them to Pastor Justin. Crystal River, C-R-C-O-G. All right, but I was raised poor, and everybody I knew was poor, so I didn't know I was poor until I seen different. And then when I saw different, I thought, well, I don't want to live like that. And so I began to read books on finance, books on money management, and begin to see my place in a better way. All right, I saw my dad's church. There was no order. There was no structure. I didn't want that. So I began to read books and try to better myself, better my thinking, to rework the frame of my mind of how I thought things ought to be. Now, am I correct? Not all the time, but most of the time. I'm kidding. But I began to see things and begin to have the Word of God rework my framework of what I saw as what God wanted to happen. Prosperity means to excel to your desired place in life. Let me tell you, here's, all right, again, my daddy, great man of God, all right, I love my dad. But here's what he said when we were over in the old building. I was wanting to build this building, and we were wanting to build this building. And here's what he said to me: Ronnie, why would you want to go into debt? Oh, because I enjoy it, Dad. He would go, Ronnie, you're running. When we moved, we was running, what, 250, something like that, when we moved from that building over to this one. And he said, Ronnie, you're running 250 in a little church that only seats 180. You haven't had two services. You know, you don't have any bills. Things are going great. I would just stay right there. And I go, I know, Dad. I said, but there are other people who need a seat because they're unsafe. We didn't build this church for the people who were already there. We built the church for folks who came after that, folks who got saved, who were getting delivered and set free. That's why we built it, all right? You know, I mean, if we took this crowd over there, we probably couldn't get everybody in over in the old building. But so it's just our little Wednesday night crowd. So I didn't build it for selfish reasons. I built it because that's what God. But if I'd have let the framework of where my dad sent me or taught me, then we would have just stayed there and just kind of coasted. Matter of fact, he said, man, if I was you, I'd just, you know, just pastor that church and just, you know, just retire right there and just. But here's what he didn't understand. That when your passion gets comfortable, when you get comfortable where you are, the things that got you there starts going by the wayside. All right? Case in point. There are still a few, and I still try, but how many of us still do everything that we did when we were dating our spouse? Some, that's right, who said that? I do some. I used to write my wife poems. I ain't wrote her one in like 15 years. Yeah, I did, well, no, 13, because I did one, no, 8 years, because I did one for our 25th. Yeah, something like roses are red, violets are blue. Whatever. No, I used to write some nice ones. I wrote her a song. I hadn't wrote her a song since we've been married. I was writing her a song to get her. You understand what I'm saying? But if you're not careful in your marriage, you just get into it's lasagna night. Right? It's pot pie night. Liver and onions night. I don't know. I don't eat that stuff, man. But you just get into a routine. And, you know, and your life needs passion.
I just need something new. I need a new spot.
No, you don't. You just need the passion, the one you got.
That's right.
Because that's what happens when you begin to settle for the status quo. You know what status quo means? Status quo is Latin for the mess we're in. Is that cool? Is it true? I think so. Google said it was. Point number two. I think I'm going to just shut her down about right here. I think I'm going to shut her down about right here and get to point two next week. And next week I'll have a slide because I'll put it where I needed to put it. Amen. You know, I love preaching fire, people hanging from the chandeliers if we had them. But there are times, not times, there are many times, what we need is instruction. And I hope tonight's been some instruction for you. Because I don't want to leave you where you are. I love you too much and I love me too much. I really love me. Whatever. If you don't love yourself, you can't love other people. I've never thought about killing myself. Other people, all the time. But I've never thought about killing me. I like me. Dude, I like me. Kill myself, that's going to hurt. No, I'm not doing it. I went to the doctor one time. You allergic to anything? I go, yeah, pain. Why do you think I'm here? Just because you got back from your trip don't mean I won't out you. No, I'm just kidding. Let's take a few minutes tonight. Because I can't do this for you. What I've preached to you tonight, I can't do for you. Man, if I could. You know, I get around some guys and they're preaching and I'm just like, oh, and I'm not saying I'm this way with you, but I get around some people and I go, man, God, just open up my mind and my brain so I can receive this. This is such good stuff. But this has been the word, man, and I can't do this for you. I can't open your brain and put it in there. It's got to be you. And you know what? Here's the sad part. Don't you wish you could just like, one and done? All right, did it tonight. I don't got to do it again. You know, I love that commercial. Don't you wish one push-up would give you the body of Atlas, you know? One piece of broccoli. Oh, yeah, cholesterol good. You don't do it. Don't you just wish, like, one Snicker bar would satisfy you? Just don't do it. Just one tablespoon of peanut butter chunk would satisfy you, but it don't. It takes four or five. Father, I pray over this congregation tonight. God, I cannot do it for them, and I struggle to do it myself. But Lord, I press toward the mark. Press toward it, God. And Lord, every family, every marriage, every individual, I know that you want life for their life. And I pray, God, I pray that they received what I was trying to convey in my finite ability to communicate. That God, we would pick ourselves up from where we are. And we would declare to the heavens and to hell that we are not who people said we are. We are not what the devil says we are. We are what God says we are. And then, Lord, begin to help us to frame our thought life, our thinking around the Word of God. And Lord, in order to do that, we need to be saturated by you, saturated in you. Because I can't do it alone. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, stand to your feet tonight.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.